What is up, guys, girls, children of all ages? Welcome back. It's the Laces Out Finkel Show. We've got a lot to cover today. First and foremost, you know exactly how we need to start this off. I am your Beer League unrestricted free agent, your future fourth liner, the retired softball legend, the middle school basketball Coast City champ, three-point machine, your waiver wire warrior, Laces Out Finkel. Thank you guys for sticking with me. I know it has been a solid week since I've released an episode, but believe it or not, contrary to popular belief, I do have a life outside of podcasting. Do I want one outside of podcasting? Not particularly. You know, life just kind of comes at you fast. Just kind of depends on how you deal with it. All that being said, boy, have I been busy watching. I am like the Dark Knight, waiting, watching for the right time to strike. There has been so much going on, specifically in the Dallas sports scene, that we need to cover and get this out of the way. And I'm glad that I waited until today, because as most of you know, Scott Linehan was officially fired as the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Could not be more excited, more ecstatic. This is a move in the right direction. I think the last episode that I did was me basically saying that I'm going for the Cowboys. Guess what? They lost. Didn't really get to watch the game because I was busy watching another Dallas team, the Stars, flounder away another game to a bottom barrel team. I think the entire show is going to be just wah-wah. Just that's the button I'm using for this. Just the wah-wah. I can't press that button enough because that's how sad the state of sports in Dallas are right now. Few bright spots here and there. But overall, we're a joke. We're an absolute joke to everyone else in the nation right now. Let's start with the Cowboys. They make it to the playoffs after, I think it was a 3-5 start. Kudos. Good on them. They turn their season around. Zeke won the rushing title for the regular season. Dak, you know, had his ups and downs. Amari Cooper, that trade was frowned upon and then turned out to be a phenomenal move. You finally get rid of Scott Linehan today. But the underlying tone, to me still, a little bit, is Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett and kind of how they handled. I don't even know if it was necessarily Jerry Jones in this situation, but just how the Dez Bryant drama was handled. And the reason I bring up Dez Bryant is that he recently, within the last couple of minutes, just tweeted out the phenomenal Kermit picture sipping a glass of tea. And it's funny because it almost makes it seem like it was Linehan that really kind of drove the force behind not getting Dez back in a Cowboys uniform. Scott Linehan single-handedly is the reason that this team did not beat the Rams in the playoffs. Scott Linehan is single-handedly the reason, I think, that the Cowboys' offense, and Dak Prescott in particular, underperformed. Scott Linehan single-handedly sabotaged this football team from taking the next step this season. And don't get me wrong, I hate Jason Garrett too. I think Jason Garrett, I've said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll never stop saying it as long as he's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He's a glad-handed yes man. Senor clappy clap. Palm presser. Over and over. You need someone that's going to lead this team. I think the gentleman, the secondary coach, forgive me if I get the name wrong, Chris Richards, regardless, go look at the video of him not yelling at, but teaching not only Van Der Esch, but Sean Lee as well during that Rams game. He is animated. And if you're a non-athlete looking at that video, you see that, and you think, oh my God, he's yelling at these guys. But then you take a closer look, and they are so invested in what he has to say. They are so into the teachings that he is giving them that they are focused in a stadium full of 40 or 50,000 people. They are focused on one man right in front of them giving them constructive criticism. Hey, don't do this, do that. When he cuts off you here, you go around and take out that lane. And they shake their heads in agreement, they nod, and he has complete control. That is what I want in a head coach. Now I get it. You need to be cool, calm, collected. But this is a day and age where there are so much outside interference that as a head coach, you need to be able to grab a hold of your team in every situation possible. Not just the good ones. Now, don't get me wrong. Jason Garrett has done, you know, a couple of things, right? Obviously, here and there. But what it boils down to, in my personal opinion, is that he just doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't have the heart to lead this team to victory. It's a big job. Arguably one of the biggest jobs in all of sports. To be the head coach of the most popular football team in the world. The most expensive franchise over all sports in the world. Shout out to the airplanes up above. Just in case you can hear a little. It's a monumental task to take a team like the Dallas Cowboys and be announced as the head coach and be expected to win constantly. But from the outside looking in, if you're not a fan of the Cowboys, if you're a hater, this team gives those haters every reason to laugh. Oh, look, here comes the mediocre Cowboys again. Watch them get a winning record, lose in the first round of the playoffs. Oh, do they make it to the second round? Well, don't worry. Track records show they can't make it out of that. This season was a turn in the right direction. But there's that weird, creepy underlying tone of the Dez Bryant situation. I hope that Linehan being fired was a way to clear it up. Only time will tell. I'm excited to see who they bring in as an offensive coordinator. I've said it once, as I'll say this a couple times more. I've said it once and I'll say it again. I think Tony Romo should be the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. Watch them throw someone like Kellen Moore. Oh, man. You want to talk about an absolutely foolish amateur move. Got nothing wrong with the kid, but he's not experienced enough. He's not. Don't make him the offensive coordinator. Please don't even mention him. Please don't. You need to progress with your next move. And you put Kellen Moore in that situation and you are regressing. Which is really hard to do when you have the offensive weapons that Linehan had and you still poop the bed. So we'll see. It's an ongoing development. You know, this happened literally as I was sitting down to lunch before I jumped on the mic today to record this episode. So I don't know exactly what the next move is, but you know what? And this is one of the few bright spots. Kudos on the Cowboys for making the right move and getting rid of that joke of an offensive coordinator. I hope wherever he goes, he fails. Because he floundered this football team's offense. Floundered. He is the reason the Cowboys are not playing this weekend. I mean, let's be honest, though. The NFL has almost zero parity in the playoffs right now. So you have the Cowboys that would possibly, one, go up against the Saints in New Orleans, the humidity capital of the world. Basically a state which is a steam room. No thank you, I will pass. Only time you go to New Orleans is to get wasted. And if you're drunk, you don't care how humid it is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Anyway, kudos on the Cowboys for making a move in the right direction, which is basically the bright spot of the season. It sucks. At the end of the day, you want the Cowboys to continue to win, if you're a Cowboys fan, for sure. But the bright spot is that Linehan is gone. So maybe you get a younger guy in here. Maybe you get one of the better offensive coordinators from college football, because it seems that the NFL is slowly but surely evolving away from that traditional pocket passer to a scrambler. Even more so now, I don't even know if the Wildcat would be considered the popular ethic as far as offense goes, but offenses are becoming more creative. These guys that are coming out of college are just athletes, not position players, athletes. Guys like Julian Edelman, who is a quarterback. You know, a lot of these guys who used to play quarterback, you're not just a wide receiver or a tight end or a running back. When you go out as a kid, what do? You play catch. A lot of these athletes probably have a cannon for an arm. So I'm interested to see what they will do next. I don't really have any candidates other than Tony Romo. Like I said, you guys have seen Dak Prescott on the field and the production that he put up when Tony Romo was on the sidelines. That's all I'm saying. When you've got a guy like Tony Romo in your ear, which sounds painful because it's probably a lot of grunts, a lot of oohs and ahs and wow, look out. But if you have a guy like that in your ear, then your production goes up through the roof. It would be selfish. No, that selfish is the wrong word. It would be silly for the Cowboys to not at least reach out. Maybe Jerry sends a text. Hey, y'all show me how to work these newfangled iPhones. I need to send a text message to my friend Antonio. Can y'all, what's his number? Can y'all, 9? Is his, do I just press 9 and send? Can y'all, I can't, y'all, do I don't know, man, y'all. Hey, you think if I give Tony a room on my new yacht, that he would sign as the offensive coordinator? You think so? I think he would, I don't know. But we'll see. I really don't speak positively of the Cowboys on this podcast. I'm quite critical of them. I'll be the first one to say it. I'm cool with that. I wanted them to beat the Rams. I have no personal vendetta against the Rams. There's nothing wrong with that team. Honestly, out of all of the teams that are remaining in the playoffs, it looks like it's going to be an entertaining last couple weeks, but, you know, it is what it is. So, I got to bring it down a little bit. We've got to move on. Right now, the Cowboys, out of these next couple teams that I'm talking about, actually look the best out of the two teams that I'm going to dive into. And if you are from Dallas, or you talk to me, or have even just opened your eyes on any sports outlet whatsoever, you will know exactly what's going on. I want to go ahead and touch on the Mavericks first. Because, yes, you have Dirk, who is likely in his final season. That one hurts my heart more than anything, because you can tell that he's obviously lost so much speed. But he goes out there and he gives it everything he's got every single night. So kudos to Dirk, as usual. You've got Luka. Oy vey. Luka Doncic. What a stud. This kid is the future of not only the Mavericks franchise, but almost, I want to say the NBA, if he can continue to play this at this caliber and only get better, hoy, watch out now. I mean, he's matching numbers like LeBron and Jordan, like easily top two, top three of the five greatest basketball players of all time. Luka Doncic is in there matching those numbers as a child. He is 19 years old, people. 19. It's not like with football where you have to go to college and, you know, by the time they're out of college, they're 21, 22. You know, that's considered young. This is a 19-year-old kid that has taken this league by storm. There's your bright spot. There's your bright spot. The Mavericks are blowing leads late. That's kind of been par for the course this season so far. They usually come out of the gate hot. If you're kind of comparing it to a boxer or an MMA fighter, they come out swinging, landing and connecting. But in true Rocky fashion, roles reversed. Rocky's over here and they just wait to the fourth quarter and they stop playing basketball. I feel really bad for that impression. It's not one of my better ones. I have a lot to learn. And this is a growing process. But the Mavericks blow leads late. It's as simple as that. It's not fair. Not fair. But it's the nature of the beast. DeAndre Jordan. I got to give it to the guy. He's. I know some of you don't like him still for the drama. And yeah, he screwed us over when we tried to get him the first time. And he said, yes, I'll be there. And then his ex-girlfriend came over in the form of Doc Rivers. And he said, yo, man, I talked to my girl, and I think we're just going to work things out. Hope for the best. But if y'all still calling when I'm single again, I'll answer that phone. But he genuinely looks like he's having a good time. There was a little bit of drama at the beginning of the season, which is something that we will really dive into in here in a second. But he looked like he was having a good time at the beginning of the season. He still looks like he's having a good time. The Mavericks don't have a great record. The West is kind of scrambled, so they could come in hot after the All-Star break and make a run for that 8th seed. I don't really necessarily think they're going to. Don't necessarily think I want to see them in the 8th seed, because I feel like whoever we play, the 1 seed, it's not going to be pretty. We're just not there yet as a team. They still need a couple more young pieces. I think Brunson is another bright spot. The rookie, I think, out of Purdue that they drafted in the same draft as the almighty Luka Doncic. But he's come in off the bench in a point guard role and done really well. I didn't even think to say this, but man, what a kick in the basketballs that J.J. Barea is done for the season, tore his Achilles. It's just heartbreaking because that guy gave you everything every single time he jumped on the floor. And I criticized him a lot in the past couple of seasons. I didn't like when he jumped on the floor. I thought things were going to go in a bad direction. They were going to go south as soon as J.J. Barea was checked into the game. I was wrong. This season, I was wrong. He worked his ass off. And I feel so bad, especially when you get a little bit older in sports. You kind of start switching, you know, me as the athlete that I am in all of these professional leagues, but your mind obviously switches to, I've got to keep myself as healthy as possible, because if I hurt myself, it might be my last injury in sports. It's the nature of the beast. These are businesses before they are games. These are employees before they are athletes. They are money makers before anything else. It sucks. It seems a little odd almost awkward at times, but that is the nature of the beast. These people make money for the people that own the teams. Do they want them to be successful? Absolutely, because it earns them more money. That's a completely different subject. I don't want to get off the rails here, so let's zip, 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 bring it back before I just go. Okay, now to share a little bit of the negative side of the Mavericks, and it's just centered around DSJ. Dennis Smith Jr. It's so frustrating because he showed so many flashes last season that made you think, damn, we've got the future right here. This guy, the Mavericks historically have not drafted anyone that's helped them in the long run since Dirk in 1999. Then you go out and you get Dennis Smith Jr. and you think, okay, youth movement, here we go. Let's flush out some of this old blood, bring in some of this new blood, and really kind of turn this franchise around, because it's been pretty depressing ever since you won the championship in 2011 and you blew up the entire roster besides Dirk Nowitzki. So they go out and get Dennis Smith Jr. out of North Carolina State. Plays pretty damn well in his first season. Shows a lot of flashes of the possibility of being the future of the Dallas Mavericks. And then they drafted Luka Doncic, and things just got a little haywire. It's hard. This is the day and age where we live in, where everyone is a TMZ reporter. So you never know what's true. You never know if someone's just saying things just to kind of get the rumor mill going, because, hey, slow day in the sports book. Like, let's say someone hates somebody else. Let's say LeBron James doesn't like Rajon Rondo because there's not enough drama going around the Los Angeles franchise. Or let's say James Harden is thinking about shaving off his beard because he feels like it's weighing him down more than his teammates in Houston. I don't know. And so you don't know exactly what's true, what's false, who heard it from what, who heard it from who, why they said it. But rumors start spreading that there's a trade afoot. Hey, NBA franchises, we would like to put Dennis Smith Jr. on the table for the possibility of the trade. Well, why would they want to do that? Rick Carlisle's way too hard on him. He wants him to play really hard. And because he's not, basically, this is Luka's franchise now. What? Huh? Who? What? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, okay, to a certain extent, if I'm Dennis Smith Jr., let's put ourselves in his Under Armour shoes. It's a sponsor. But let's put ourselves in his shoes. You are playing alongside Dirk Nowitzki. Well, it's sometimes playing alongside Dirk Nowitzki. And, you're on a team that's a little bit on the downside, but with the possibility of jumping back into it and really putting themselves back in the mix of the Western Conference. And, your first season, you're thrown into the dunk contest, and, you play in the freshman-sophomore game, and blah, blah, blah. You put up some good numbers here and there, have a couple of great games. And then along walks this 19-year-old, I believe, Slovakian kid, and then they don't want me no more. The fantastic scene from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Why don't he want me no more? If that didn't make you cry, you have no soul. But if you're, and I'm not saying that he was promised anything, because I'm not in the front office. That's not my job. My job is to sit here and speculate. So here we are, speculating. So imagine, though, going from being that kid that kind of had it in his head that he was the future of the franchise to more or less not being that, but being a co-star in the movie.
hey, you're not going to be the lead role, friend. We've got this other kid that just popped up, really going to steal the show. So do us a favor, take a back seat, pass him the ball, and everything's going to work out just fine. Well, I don't want to do that, DSJ says. And Coach Carlisle's being too hard on me. He expects all this from me, but y'all are giving all the attention to Luca. How am I supposed to react to that? What do you want us to do? I want you to trade me. Okay, cool. We'll trade you. And then, yesterday, Thursday, January, what's the name? 18th? January 17th. Reports come out. No one really wants to give us what we want. So we're going to repair this. You know what? Let's work on us. Let's really focus on us and work this out. Okay, cool. That was a mind changer. Oh, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, do I want Dennis Smith Jr. gone? No. I think him and Luca are the franchise futures. But you guys have got to fix this. Because I only have like an hour to talk about it. And you guys got to... I could go on and on and on. But lucky for the Mavericks, there's another franchise in town that's just putting them to shame when it comes to front office theatrics. But before I jump into that, I think that there is a very bright future. There's a bright future for the team. I think that the Mavericks are going in the right direction. I think if... I believe Rick Carlisle is a solid head coach. But again, you're seeing a bit of a youth movement. So I don't know exactly, you know. You got guys like Steve Kerr and Luke Walton. Not saying that Walton's a good coach by any means. Ty Lue, who basically got blamed for the Cavaliers doing terrible after LeBron James left the team again. But you're getting a resurgence now of these young guys that are ex-NBA players that we grew up with taking over head coaching jobs. So I think it's getting close. I like Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle means a lot to this team. Mark Cuban still means a lot to this team, but I think Mark Cuban may also start to realize soon, you know, maybe it's time for a head coaching change. Maybe it's time for us to go in a different direction. Maybe it's time for us to move on from the Jim Carrey era of basketball coaching. But I don't know. Time will tell. I think the Mavericks have a very bright future ahead of them. I think that it's only going to take a couple more years before this team is really... And it breaks my heart to say this, but Dirk should probably hang them up after this year. You know, you see a lot of respect being given to him. He's getting standing ovations in opposing arenas. You know, you had the people in Boston basically on their feet hoping that he would score a point. God bless him, he didn't. Dirk has just gained so much respect from the league. This has to be his last season. So it breaks my heart, but Dirk is not a part of the future. Dirk is probably going to stick around to an extent. Probably a front office role. Maybe right the ship on some of the front office garbage that's going on. I mean, not to mention, and I don't want to bring this up because I don't have a lot of information on it, but there was a really big sexual assault scandal at the beginning of the season with the Mavericks. Don't forget about that. You know, it's pretty upsetting. Because you have what I'm about to talk about, which is not, don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing sexual assault from a front office calling out its players. I'm saying it's a very, I'm trying to remain positive, but it's a pretty dark time in Dallas sports overall. I'm not even going to jump into the Texas Rangers because their window is shut. They are not going to win the World Series next year. If they win the World Series next year, I will get a tattoo, a tramp stamp that says, I was wrong about, and then the Texas Rangers logo right above my cheek cracks, right above that glass break. Rangers aren't going to win. Beltre's gone. Leadership, questionable. Joey Gallo, meh. Let's see. You know, everyone touted him as being the number one prospect, but I don't know how I feel about that right now, because last time we had a guy who struck out like Joey Gallo, he went to Baltimore, played lights out, and then played miserable last season. Chris Davis. So, dark time. You got FC Dallas. And I'm just touching on these other franchises because I feel like they need to be touched upon, that things are not bright right now. So, you know, guys and girls, if you're Rangers fans, you know next season's going to suck. The highlight of next season is that it's the last season in the ballpark in Arlington. Not Globe Life. That's not the name of it. But the ballpark in Arlington. And then you have the exciting next season after that, because we get indoor baseball and air conditioning. I could not be more excited about watching a baseball game in Texas and it not being 130 degrees. Ooh. And then you have FC Dallas, who is owned by the Hunt family, who's a little preoccupied with a little team called the Kansas City Chiefs. Have you ever heard of them? They are quarterbacked by Kermit the Frog. We go out there and we play football. And then I throw the ball for sometimes over my shoulder, sometimes sidearm. I don't know. It ain't easy being green. You have the Kansas City Chiefs, owned by the Hunts, the same family that owns FC Dallas, and it could not be more apparent on which franchise they care about more. FC Dallas has Toyota Stadium, which is a really great venue, but a lot of people around MLS, hey guys, girls, there is a soccer league in America. It's the Major League Soccer. Yes, I know a lot of has-beens and old men from Premier Leagues and Bundesligas and Spanish League One. Everyone comes to the Major League Soccer to finish their career because it's a slower game with younger guys who basically cap off at Major League Soccer. Boy, that was a rough way to introduce soccer on the podcast. Sorry! But there are opinions around Major League Soccer that basically our stadium is a football stadium that happens to have soccer games in it. It's a football Americano stadium that happens to have a Major League Soccer franchise occupying it. Division II football, FCS, FBS, whatever D2 is called now. Toyota Stadium is where they play the championship for that, which is cool. That's great. But the reason I'm saying all this is because it feels like the Hunt family is really not paying attention to this franchise. They're not going out and making big moves to sign big names. They got the Cobra, I believe is a Czech guy from the Czech Republic. I hear he's good. I've got a tattoo of a Cobra on my right forearm. So instantly, I feel like he and I are like best friends because his nickname is the Cobra. So, but you really find yourself questioning a lot of moves. The only guy I really kind of followed on the team was a guy by the name of Maximiliano, and they traded him. So there's Matt Hedges. I really feel bad because I want, like I said in podcasts before, to follow soccer more. I've even got FC Dallas stand seats in my apartment. I've got an FC Dallas kit. It's a jersey, but I think it's called a kit. Regardless, I've got one of those. I've been to a couple of FC Dallas games. They're fun. They're cheap. I heard they got done renovating the North American Soccer Hall of Fame, which is a little bit ironic, all things considered, I hear it's very, very nice, and I hear it is a fantastic addition to Toyota Stadium. But does North, do we have a like a deep soccer past? Not really. I mean, Clint Dempsey is a rapper or something. I mean, Alexi Lawless had really nice hair. The women, this is their sport in America. Those women, I think they play France too tonight. I could be wrong, but I think it's tonight or tomorrow. Go USA women. Thanks for picking up the ball that the men dropped and really like just taking the sport by storm in the US. You guys are badasses. Gold medal badasses. So this is a highlight for women. Women's soccer in the US is awesome. Unfortunately, the men cannot speak same. But I'm getting off topic. Let's reel her back in. That was me imitating a fishing pole. FC Dallas, cloudy, with a chance of sadness, getting bounced out in the first round of the playoffs like last year. So that leaves one franchise in Dallas that we have not spoken on yet. And you guys know who I'm going to talk about, so I should probably put at the beginning of the podcast, I'm not going to, but I should probably put, hey, if you want to stop listening to me whine about Dallas teams, you should probably pause at 37 minutes because he's about to go off the rails. You guessed it, the Dallas Stars. I hit the wrong button. That was better. I don't even know where to start. Oh, yeah, I do. It's with the front office. You called out your two, quote, unquote, best players on the team. The pilot and co-pilot. The captain and arguably the first alternate. That's not how it works, but you get the gist. You call them out with a horse emoji and a poop emoji. And tell them they are playing like garbage. One of those players hears you. The other one, not so much. But it does not matter. What matters is you brought journalists in to publicly criticize your team. Not your coach. Not your trainers. Not your water boy. The gentlemen on the ice. That are working to be the best. You called them out and said, hey, you're playing terribly. You better step it up, or else I'm gonna ooh-ah-yada. And then you have the audacity to, as the owner, come out after your team president has said this and go, yeah. No, I'm 100%. 100% behind that guy. You giant, pompous douchebag. I've seen you in public. You look like the most pretentious, belly touches the door first, dickwad. You are an embarrassment to this franchise. You are the Jerry Jones of hockey right now. You're probably going to get plastic surgery within the next 10 years, aren't you, Tom? It all starts at the top and rolls downhill. I just called out the Hunt family at FC Dallas. You got guys like John Daniels, who not a lot of people are behind for the Rangers. And then you've got Jerry Jones over here with the Cowboys. And then Mavericks, a little bit to an extent, not so much their fault on this one. I will give them a pass. But most of the other franchises starts at the top. But man, you really, really take the cake on this one, Tom. Not to mention Jim Nail. You might have had a really good time in Detroit and made them kind of a continued relevant franchise besides the fact that they are an original six team. You brought in a good product to Detroit hockey. But hey, what have you done for me lately down here? Jim, you have brought me players like Val Nichushkin and Julius Honka. And then you got rid of guys like Jack Campbell, which, by the way, I don't know if anyone watched that spectacular performance by Jack Campbell last night for the team that the Stars played against, the worst team in the Western Conference, the Los Angeles Kings. I don't know if you were watching that game, Jimmy. Jim Neal, if there is anybody in Dallas that's on the hot seat right now that was hotter than Linehan, it's Jim Neal. Jim Neal has just absolutely done nothing for this franchise in the last couple of years. Nothing. You can bring guys, and don't get me wrong, this guy is my favorite player on the team. Alexander Radulov gives you his heart every single time he's out there. Anton Khudobin, you brought him in? Awesome. We needed a solid backup. Arguably one of my favorite guys on the team now, too. He puts his heart out there, has a good time doing it, and he's a solid backup goalie. But you also have set this team up to have zero secondary scoring. And then you brought guys like Jason Spezza into the mix with a disgusting contract. Not in like one of those, oh, did you see that move? That was disgusting in a good way. I mean, like, you are throwing money at an aging veteran whose prime was done before he even put the victory green on his chest. That kind of disgusting. I don't dislike Jason Spezza the person. I don't dislike Jason Spezza the athlete. I dislike Jim Neal thinking that Jason Spezza is worth the money that we are still throwing at him. And Jason has come out and said, I will take a huge pay cut to stay here in Dallas next year when my contract is up. Cool, thank you. Maybe not really going to need it, hopefully. Do you want to be like a player's assistant? Because honest to goodness, I love Jason Spezza, but what have you done for me lately? I could literally go on an entire episode on how terrible Val Nichushkin is at the game of hockey. Jim Montgomery really said, I mean, Jim Montgomery to me is, oh my goodness, I feel so bad for this guy. Because, honest to goodness, if you put him in any other situation right now and make him a first-year NHL coach, I think he's doing spectacular. I think he's really doing a great job. He's the third head coach in as many seasons as three. I mean, let that sink in, guys, girls, children of all ages. We've had Lindy Ruff, Ken Hitchcock, and now Jim Montgomery. And I believe three consecutive seasons. If that is not the glaring problem, I don't know what is. There is not a more dysfunctional front office in all of sports right now. The Ottawa Senators had players trashing their team in an Uber, and that was released to the public. The Ottawa Senators traded away their heart, their best player, their captain, for almost nothing in comparison to what he gave them. The Ottawa Senators were the, and are the, until now, laughingstock of the NHL. And then the Dallas Stars stepped in and said, nah, we'll take it from here. Appreciate you keeping the seat warm. It is so gut-wrenching to watch this team lose to not only the Kings, but the Blues. Well, I mean, you can't get mad at the Lightning. They played hard against the Lightning this past Tuesday. And the Lightning are the best team in the NHL. And Vasilevsky is arguably the best goalie in the NHL, and they played like it. But you lost to the Kings. You lost to the Blues. You're losing to the worst teams in the NHL. I don't know what the solution is here. You traded Shores away for Cogliano, and Cogliano, from what I've seen, skates his ass off, and he goes out there and he gives it to you every night. But he still hasn't scored yet. Meanwhile, Devin Shore just went over to Anaheim and contributed a point, ending their 12-game skid. Jim Lights. I haven't even said Jim Lights' name yet because I, honest to God, hate saying his name. But, hey, Tom Gagliani. You guys saw that, what Shore did over there in Anaheim, yeah? Okay. I'm just curious because, you know, he only had a year left on his contract, but this Cogliano guy, don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with Cogliano. I haven't seen anything for me to say, hey, I don't like him. But he's got like 2 or 3 years left on his contract. Okay. Not a big deal. If you don't, Jim Neal has to make a couple more moves. And for the Stars fans out there, for the podcast fans that have listened this far, this is a longer episode than usual because there's a lot that we needed to cover in my little time away. But if this team does not make some serious moves within the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline, this team is about to get blown up. And I am talking Ben gone, Seguin gone, Radulov, so help me God, gone. Ben Bishop, probably going to stay around for a little bit, probably going to get traded. The only player on this team right now, I really hope I don't regret saying this and have to eat my words, but the only player that is safe on this team right now is Miro Heiskanen. Absolutely, 100% Miro the hero. Because he's your future. But Klingberg, I mean, you can trade him. If you want to bring me in some goal-scoring second-liners, maybe a defenseman thrown in there, you can trade him. Seguin, I know everyone loves him. I love him too. He's had a resurgence here in the 2019, but you can trade him. Jamie Benn, this is so frustrating to watch him play and get, oh, he's so close to being right there, but just not doing it. You can trade him. Please don't trade Alexander Radulov. Please, please don't trade him. You'll trade him, though. I mean, there is not a single person besides Miro Heiskanen on this team that is safe from getting traded. So, your move, Tom Gagliani and Jim Lights, don't like you at all. This all started with your mouth and you spouting off. It's fun, isn't it, when you talk a little bit of trash and no one's there to tell it to you. I hope Jamie Benn walks by you in one of the office hallways, and I hope he stares so deep into your soul that you poop your little pantaloons. Because how dare you question this team? It's not your responsibility to go to the public and say that your team is playing like effing horse caca. And then Jim Neal, may God have mercy on your soul if you don't make any moves for the rest of this season, because your time here has been neat, but you have nothing to show for it. Nothing, nothing, nothing to show for it. The only thing that you have to show for it is, hey, you guys remember when the Dallas Stars became the laughingstock of the NHL? I was there. I was helping to run the team. And we're named a team. It sucks because I love this team more than any other professional team. I love watching these guys have fun. I love going to the games. I've seen a lot of people at games. I've formed relationships with people from the games. This team means a lot to a lot of people. These teams mean a lot to a lot of people. And while this episode has been a little bit more on the negativity-o side, I think there is a lot of upside to all of these teams. I think there are opportunities in every single franchise to turn things around, maybe with the exception of the Texas Rangers. And that's coming from someone who literally all I could talk about for a solid 5 years was the Texas Rangers. Since about 2009, 5 or 6 years of just nothing but baseball. I talked nothing but baseball. I gave everything to that team. My money, my time, my emotions, everything. I have since kind of realized, hey, there's other things, there's other sports. Just heads up. Hockey has always been like the sport that I've enjoyed the most, but I really gave baseball everything for a good amount of time. And it was a great run, but I am glad to be more well-versed around the board. So there you have it. That is the state of Dallas sports right now. It's a little bit of a dark time, to be completely honest with you. But like I said, the Mavs have a really bright future ahead of them. I think the Cowboys are on the doorstep to greatness within the next 3 to 4 years, depending on who they get to coach their offense and the entire team. The Stars, God, I wish I could say the same about them. I feel like you've got a really good head coach right there. I think he's literally the guy on your bench. And I am sorry, Jim Montgomery, that you are the head coach right now, because you don't deserve this. You did not deserve the stresses that you have been put under. I am sorry that you have been selected to be the head coach of the Dallas Mediocrity Stars. So, and then FC Dallas, new head coach. I mean, they didn't go out and get a big flashy name, because that's not what the Hunt family does. The Hunt family doesn't like putting money towards the team. Just plain and simple. Doesn't look like they care about putting money towards the team. So, that's Dallas sports for you. Woo-woo. As usual, you guys have been awesome. I love when you guys reach out to me and let me know how much you enjoy the podcast. A big life changes possibly happening for me here soon. So, I will do my absolute best to continue to post videos, share photos on my Facebook page. If you guys haven't checked it out already, the Laces Out Finkel Show Facebook page. Of course, as usual, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, at Laces Out Finkel. It's Friday. I hope you guys have a great weekend. One of these days, I'll figure out how to get music here on the end of the show without having to, risk getting sued or whatever. And so with that being said, I think there's only one song, and that is by the wonderful Sam Cooke. And I leave you with "A Change Is Gonna Come," because God willing, for sports in Dallas, a change is gonna come. I love you guys so much. Watch your sports, enjoy them, smile with me, and cry with me. I bid you adieu. It's been a long